everybody. Welcome in to Amalgamation Nation, the AM Nation pod, your source for sporting news, gaming news, anime news, and so much more. This is episode 212. We're recording this live here on November 13th on another Saturday edition of Sports Talk Saturday. It flows really well. Flows real good. STS, boom. Ready to rock and roll this evening. Joining me, or this morning, oh man. Joining me this morning, Petey Tahiti Argus. Pete, how are you? How was your week, brother?
It's been good, man. It's been the whole time change. It's kind of depressing. It's very much depressing. Obviously, Ryan, it's a little bit different from you, you know, with your work schedule.
Ooh, man.
And I can see why you said, like, evening. Like when you said that, because I mean, you're already done with work, so yeah, I could see what you're saying. You know, they're from that perspective, but no, I mean, my week was all right. You know, surviving. We're back at the weekend. We got sports, you know, on for the weekend, so we made it. Well, no, I was just gonna say. Well, we've already hit some winter weather. I think you guys had. Did you guys already have flurries?
Yeah, we did. We sure did. Yeah, brother. We did.
We had flurries here this morning, so it's here. It's
absolutely here. Beautiful, yep. Man. I was sitting there yesterday, Friday. So I came upstairs. I had my windows shut or my blinds shut, so I couldn't really see. I came upstairs and I was going to check something by the front door, and I'm like, "What the fuck is this, man?" It's just a bunch of flurries. Obviously, too warm from the stick or anything, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, I was like, "Oh wow, all right, so we're doing it. Here we are, doing it live." Also, fun fact, time change is weird when you're traveling at the same time. We're in Pittsburgh. So when we left at 3 a.m., I guess technically it was 4 a.m. Very weird. Very weird. The only bonus to me, because since I am on nights, now with the time change is when I do get off in the morning, the sun's actually up. So that's kind of cool. Because like for a few weeks there, because of the time starting the sun coming rising later, it was dark as shit also when I got off work. I'm like, this is weird. I don't like going to work in the dark and coming home in the dark. I don't like that at all. So now at least I get a little bit of sun there. So we got a lot of sports news to get into, mostly the NFL, obviously. Always good stuff from the NFL. We'll talk about the Hawks, a little bit of Chicago Bulls. There is a little bit of baseball, college sports, and the NFL. So let's dive right into it. So last week we talked about the Blackhawks should really fire Jeremy Colleton. On top of, we talked about the entire, you know, everything with Kyle Beach and everything too, but the Hawks, right after we finished recording, boom, fired Jeremy Colleton. And now they've rattled off three straight wins. That's called streaking. Pete, your thoughts here on the Hawks firing Colleton, and now all of a sudden Got that fresh fire, fresh new head coach winning streak going.
Well, that's just great that the Blackhawks front office actually listens to our podcast. Yep. That's fantastic. I mean, that's the first thing I thought of immediately was like, oh, they're listening to our podcast. They're taking our recommendations. Thank you. Because guess what? Blackhawks have won three straight. Oh, is there a coincidence? No, because Collinson's terrible, okay? There's a lot of talent on this team, especially like the offseason that the Blackhawks had. There's a lot of expectations. Obviously, off the ice has been a whole other animal that the Blackhawks have had to deal with. But, hey, Colleton's gone. They're playing some good hockey. I know that they just beat Arizona. They stink. We get it. But, hey, if you're the Blackhawks, you take any win. You take any win that you can right now. And, hey, who knows? Maybe this team gets hot. Maybe we make some noise. I don't know. But good thing is Colleton's gone. Get him out. And it's just so funny because we were talking about it in the pre-show. Like, why couldn't they just done this? Like, so then we could have talked about it last week. And then, boom, it, like, happens right
and
after.
When I brought up, like, we should do these on Saturdays instead of Tuesdays, not only was it for personal reasons, but also just because I was like, oh, this will probably be better for, like, sporting news-wise. All the week will be done. All we really have to worry about is whatever happens on Sunday. And it should be pretty good. But, like, literally that day, like, right after the episode dropped, boom, they made a noise. I'm like, wow, someone in the front office of the Hawks had our show pinged and ready for when we dropped an episode, and they're like, oh shit, and yep. They're like, man, these guys are spitting facts. Probably didn't finish the rest of the episode. They're just like, oh man, we gotta do this right now. Gotta do it. Shout out to Josh, because he had been pumping the Fire Kaladin train for ever. So it finally happened. So you can rest. You can breathe easy now, sir, that Jeremy Calhoun is no longer the coach of the Chicago Blackhawks. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they had, you know, with the moves that they made moves that make you, or at least make it look like they want to, like, make some type of noise. Mm-hmm. And all they were doing is stinking real bad. So now at least they got a little bit of life going, and we'll see what this eventually leads to. Another team in Chicago that has plenty of life, the Chicago Bulls, man. I mean, last night they got their ass pounded by the Warriors. That's all right. But this team is fun, man. This is just a really good, fun basketball team. I didn't realize this, so I was listening to Ryan Russillo's podcast. He's talking to Adam, Admin, and he was talking about, how at one point the Bulls in a 5-year span had the worst record in the NBA. And I was just like, oh my God, yeah, it really was that painful. And like, here they are now, a lot of life, DeMar DeRozan playing the best basketball of his career. And which is just insane at like 32 years old that he's just found it. He just flipped the switch. That's pretty cool. And I mean, obviously when you look at it, him and LaVine and these guys, I don't think they sustained necessarily the same numbers, but like the numbers aren't going to take a dramatic drop either. Like, you know, maybe they go down like a point and a half a game, I would say, when they level themselves out. But this has been really, really fun to see. And, you know, Io the other day against the Nets scored a career high 15 points, the steal of the draft in the second round, the true Big Ten player of the year. All right, fuck Luka Garza. He's getting pounded on by Jared Allen, dude. Absolutely.
I was going to mention that. My God.
Dude, absolutely disgusting. Wow, crazy. A guy that has no speed, big man, and can't shoot. Not going to do hot in the NBA. What a shock. So there's Luka Garza and the rest of that bum-ass state of Iowa. Vooch got COVID. That sucks. And like I mentioned, the Bulls did lose to the Warriors. But Pete, another week, another exciting run by the Chicago Bulls.
I know. I was hyped this week because this was like – so what's nice about having ESPN Plus is like I get a lot of the Blackhawks games. I think I mentioned this before, but I wish the NBA did that. But I do have NBA TV. So it was nice because on Tuesday, I think was it Tuesday? I don't know. It's already been a long week. Whatever. But the Bulls-Nets game was on NBA TV, so I was able to watch the entire thing. Oh, my God. Like, just – I mean – what a great win there for the Bulls. Obviously, I mean, the Nets are, you know, dealing with some other stuff here off the court. But, yeah. I mean, just what a great win there for the Bulls. They're so much fun to watch. Yes, yesterday sucked. They're against the Warriors. But, I mean, the Warriors are doing that to, like, every team. They're hot right now. I can only imagine what the Warriors are going to be once they get Clay back. That team is going to be terrifying. But then it's weird because, like, I get this vibe from Cleveland, too, because, like, I mean, obviously, it was Cavs-Warriors for like 3 straight years. They're in the finals. But I think the hate for the Warriors, at least in Northeast Ohio, I think has kind of gone away. I think the Warriors are actually kind of back to being fun, mostly because I think it's like almost as America. Like we saw that like the Warriors have sucked, you know, like in their terms the last like few years. And then it's like, you know, now it's like an uplifting, oh, you know, that'd be cool if the Warriors are good again. You know, it's just kind of weird from that perspective. But from the Bulls, it does suck with Vooch, you know, tested positive for COVID. So that sucks because, I mean, they were playing really well here right now. And, yeah, that's going to be a rough, you know, 2-week stretch without Vooch. And especially, was it like a 5 or 6 game road trip? I mean,
yeah.
West. I mean, they never do well there. I mean, it's just like, you know, back to the Jordan days. The Bulls have never done well out West during that time. So, but no, they're a lot of fun to watch. Definitely.
100%. Up until that loss last night, the top two teams in the East were the Washington Wizards and the Chicago Bulls, aka Amalgamation Nation. So shout out to the Wiz as well. They've got a good little thing going over there. I don't know what's happening. I don't get it. But like Bradley Beal's playing really good alongside Kuzma and Dinwiddie and Montrezl Harrell. Like it's just all working right now out there in Washington. And I'm sure BK is extremely excited. But yeah, shout out to the Wiz as well, holding down the number one spot in the Eastern Conference right now. Basketball is weird, man. Basketball is real, real
very weird. No, what? I was just going to say real quick on Kuzma. I don't know if you saw, like, I think it was like online or something, but it was one of the local channels here in Cleveland. It was after they just played the Cavs, and it put like his bottom line for Kyle Kuzma and says one championship because of LeBron James, basically.
Oh, man.
So just completely trolling. As soon as you brought up Kuzma, I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot I saw that online. That's just, oh, man. The local news, man.
I love that you're bringing up the Lakers because the Lakers might be in trouble, right? And like, I didn't talk about it last week because I was like, whatever. We have to see what happens. I'll give it another week. And for the sake of discussion, what's going on with the Lakers, Pete?
I don't know. It's a really good question. Personally, I don't really look at the NBA until like Christmas, but
great point.
From the Lakers' perspective, I don't know. Are the pieces going to fit? I mean, obviously they've been without LeBron here, so that's a huge, you know, part of the arsenal. But I don't know. Is Russell a good fit there with them? I mean, we were kind of saying the same thing initially. I mean, I'm not comparing this, but we were also saying the same thing like when LeBron went to Miami. Like initially they were struggling. It didn't look like it was going to fit or whatever. But that was also like prime LeBron, or almost before prime LeBron. This is like an older veteran team. Anthony Davis has never really played a full season. Russell Westbrook, I mean, he's a stat sheet stuffer, but like, I don't trust him. So from the Lakers' perspective, I don't know. I don't know if they can remedy this. And yeah, you've got a tough Warriors team that's only going to get better. The West is already tough. The East has gotten better. Like, I don't know. And can LeBron do it again? Like, can LeBron actually shoulder everything like he has here in the past? And that's going to be their big question because they're going to need it. They're definitely going to need him because it's a completely different team with him on the floor and him off the floor.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be getting outscored 40-12 in the third quarter against Minnesota. Like, you just you can't do that if you're the Lakers. No. That team is having some issues, and it's really, really bad. I mean, against that Minnesota team, Russell and Davis looked really good, but everybody else was awful, you know, just really, really bad. And these are things that we talk about with LeBron teams. LeBron teams tend to not have enough depth, and that is showing. And, like, you made a great point with Miami. Like, that is, arguably right before prime LeBron really kind of clicked in. And that's a much different situation, whereas now LeBron is older. He is getting banged up. We saw it ever since the COVID tournament, you know, playoffs that they had, the bubble bowl. They've been kind of just, he's been banged up. He has. Yeah. And that plays heavy when you have a team that has no depth and you're basically expecting Anthony Davis to be LeBron James and really carry it. And like you mentioned, he hasn't played a full season in I don't even know how long, if ever. So
I don't know.
It's going to be really interesting to see what the Lakers, but the great point. Yeah. Usually around Christmas, right around the new year. I'm like, all right, let's see where everything lays. Yeah. College basketball is similar to that too, which we'll get to in a little bit. Cody yesterday, friend of the show, Cody Shaq, asked, we were talking about college basketball and I said, you know, to be honest with you, it usually takes me about almost 10 games in college basketball, at least, to like kind of figure out where everybody's at. Because you're going to get a bunch of weird-ass games. The NBA right now, same thing with the way that, like, you got some weird games. And we'll see where kind of everybody starts to lay around the new year. But definitely there's trouble and worry out there in Los Angeles for the Lakers. That is for sure. PTD baseball has come to an end, as we know. But the Gold Glove winners were announced, and there might have been a White Sox player in there.
Yeah, and so it got announced. Perfect timing. Absolutely. It was like maybe 9:30 Eastern, around 10 o'clock. Yeah, 9:30 to 10:30 or 10 on Sunday night. So, of course, everybody was paying attention. Everybody turned off Sunday Night Football, and they're like, oh, my God, cannot wait for this announcement. No, absolutely not. Duh. Bobby Manfred, great job. Why couldn't you have done this like on like a random Tuesday or Wednesday when you're not competing with the NFL? But whatever. I digress. So AL winners, we got Yuli Gurriel, they're in the AL. Marcus Semien, ex-White Sox, there we go, they're at second. We got Matt Chapman, they're at third, obviously, I mean, the dude's been a staple there. Carlos Correa, they're at short. We got Andrew Benintendi, they're in left. Michael Taylor, we have in center. Joey Gallo, they're in right. And then we have Sean Murphy as the catcher.
Also, and fun fact. The pitcher. Yeah, I was going to say. Boom.
You got it, man.
Fucking no, Dallas Keuchel. You, man. Dallas Keuchel.
Dallas Keuchel.
Didn't even make the playoff rotation, but hot damn. Shout out for the glove.
Yep, shout out. Totally forgot to put the pitchers in there, so I'm glad that you brought that up. Mm-hmm. All right, perfect. So that was the AL. Not really any big surprises. I guess maybe the Joey Gallo one. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, because you don't really picture him for his glove. Usually just the bat.
So, yeah, kind of, shout out to Joey Gallo for getting that. That's kind of cool. So good for him. We'll get to the NL side. I mean, I think me and Ryan both agreed. Nobody cares because, half of them are bunch of, whatever, stupid St. Louis players, whatever.
Yeah.
We'll get into the dumb St. Louis players. So Paul Goldschmidt there first. I can't hate Paul Goldschmidt. He's, really good. But, I just hate him. I just have to. And then we have second, Tommy Edman. Yep,
why not?
Don't like that guy. No, that guy stinks. We got Nolan Arenado at third. Yeah, we get it. Nolan's great. Oh, my God. Whatever. Look at his glove. Okay, move on. Shortstop, we got Brandon Crawford. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you, Brandon, for, not taking the entire infield of St. Louis. God. So gross. But then, guess what, everybody? We're back to St. Louis. Left field, Tyler O'Neill. Honestly, he is jacked. I saw him a few months ago when I was able to go to the then Indians game versus the Cardinals. We had, Molly's uncle was able to get, dugout suite tickets. So it's, right behind there. The dude is jacked. I kept saying he was on steroids.
Man. Supposedly. So proud of you.
But then I did my research. I guess his dad was a bodybuilder, I think, in Canada.
Oh.
So it kind of makes
sense. Well, they're juicing up there in Canada, man.
Straight absolutely. Up like, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. He's doing something. Yeah. I mean, the dude hits dingers, too. I think he hit a homer when we were there. We don't have to talk about that. Oh, but no. You know what? We will. Real quick. I just wanted to let everyone know, because I actually work downtown in Cleveland, only maybe once a week. But they took down the Indian sign in left field right above the video board. All gone. The Indians part is gone. So
damn.
I'll keep you guys updated weekly about little changes. They're progressive. Let's get back to this dumb NL thing. Harrison Bader, one in center. Okay, whatever. Okay, just he only won it because of his hair. Yeah, let's just be honest.
Dude, he's got cool hair, man.
He does have cool hair. I wanted to hate on him at the game, but I don't know. He just seems kind of cool. And then Adam Duvall, they're in right field. Honestly, another guy, kind of like the Joey Gallo situation. Like, a guy who's, not really, known for his outfield or, defensive prowess. To get that? Yeah, good for him. And then Jacob Stallings there as the catcher. I'm going to be honest, Ryan. I didn't look up the pitcher.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know who the NL pitcher is the one. The only reason I knew the AL was because of Dallas Keuchel. That's about it. But fun that the entire NL Gold Glove, for the most part, besides three of them, are Cardinals players. Still didn't make the playoffs, though, but shout out to them.
Well, I mean, they made their playoff. The one game.
Yeah, whatever.
But, and then, of course, I mean, I don't even know if we even talked about this. But then how do they fire their manager?
Oh.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, that's right. They did.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, we just had a difference of direction. What? I don't know. I mean, whatever.
Almost your whole team won gold gloves. That's so weird to me.
Yeah, and they had, the second, longest winning streak in the last, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And it's like, get rid of them. Get rid of them. So that's really the baseball update. Other than that, Scott Boras is saying stuff there at the winter meetings, saying that the Braves won because of tanking. Last time I checked, every single team that they beat was not tanking whatsoever. They were trying to go all in. I mean, we can go about it real quick. Brewers. Pretty sure Brewers were going all in.
Oh, yeah.
And then Dodgers, obviously.
Always
all in.
That's
all they do is go all in.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, the Astros. Yeah, they were trying to win. So, Scott Boras, Great analysis.
Listen, Scotty B, Scotty Bo, Boris. As a White Sox fan here, I just like you know we welcome your clients to the South Side, mostly Marcus Semien and Castellanos, either maybe both. Bring them to the South Side.
They want to win.
It's a great place. I mean, if you want to go to the North Side every once in a while on your off days, no problem. Not a place you want to stay for sure. Just come play for the White Sox. Lovely scenery down there in South Side Chicago at the G-Rate. It'll be a great time. And I hope you have a great rest of your week, Scott Boris.
whatever, Scott. You know what? You know how I feel about you.
Yeah, I know how everybody feels. Oh, man. But yeah, really bad take there, assuming everybody's tanking. Yeah, that's it. Everybody's tanking. No, the team that your clients are usually on are tanking. Tough look. What about some college football? Because guess what? It wouldn't be college football without the Big Ten shooting itself in the foot.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to start off with, you know what? Let's start positive. Let's just do it. Let's start positive. How about the Illini knocking off Minnesota? It's all Bielema does. He gets big road wins that just make no sense. No sense whatsoever. Like, oh, God.
I watch an incompetent Illini team lose to Rutgers, but then they go out and they go on the road and beat number 20 Minnesota.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Makes no sense. Another thing that we did possibly see coming, but weren't exactly sure, Purdue knocking off another undefeated team, this time at home against Michigan State. Huge win there for Purdue. They got a tough game here today here against Ohio State. We'll see how that goes, especially since it is in Columbus. So that's going to be tough. You know, it's going to be annoying. It's like if Ohio State wins, all people are going to talk about, all the Ohio State fans, oh, we beat a tough Purdue team at home. That's what we did. We got a ranked win against Purdue. You know, back off, okay? Like, I don't want to hear it. This is like pre them talking about it. I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. But shout out to Purdue. That was a great win there for them over Michigan State. After Michigan State had the big win there over Michigan. Huge win there for them. Also, another upset. UNC knocked off Wake Forest in a back-and-forth game. Absolutely zero defense, which was kind of expected. UNC's defense is not very good. But their offense is very good. There was Sam Howell. That's the reason why they were, like, ranked. It was supposed to be them and Clemson. They're in the ACC. ACC is really taking a nosedive this year with Clemson not being very good. Wake Forest being your best team.
Yeah, now good look. Them and Pitt. I think them and Pitt are probably their best two teams, and that's pretty gross. Feel bad for the ACC a little bit just because now there's no chance. Like, there's not even a realistic shot they can get into the conversation because of Wake Forest. Although, as BK mentioned last week, this was a non-conference game for some reason. That's real weird.
See, that's why it's dumb. That's why they should not even be considered for the playoff, because you think that's a non-conference game. Yep, that doesn't make sense. But also what does make sense is some of the playoff rankings. You know, that these quote-unquote experts put together here for we got our top eight. So we'll start with the obvious. Obviously, Georgia's number one. We have two, Bama. Whatever. Three, Oregon. Four, Ohio State. Five, Cincinnati. Okay. Six, Michigan. Seven, Michigan State. Is this like a typo? Should the Michigan State have been before? And then we have Oklahoma, who's really beating no one. They're at eight. Ryan, your thoughts here on the rankings?
We're getting closer and closer to Cincinnati getting in. Any type of Ohio State loss is going to blow it all up, and then Cincinnati just has to win out, and they're going to probably get in. That is where I feel currently. Because of Michigan State losing to Purdue really sets off a ripple effect. Now, they really obviously weigh heavy that particular loss. However, this would be different to me if Michigan State beat Michigan early in the year, and now like we can look at it and say, okay, they're completely different teams. No, it was like 2 weeks ago. So nothing changed just for me to say that Michigan is a better football team than Michigan State. I already saw it. Like, I already watched Michigan State outperform Michigan. So I understand, I guess, but then to me at that point, like, it should just be Oklahoma at six, Michigan State at seven, Michigan at eight. Like, that's where it should be until everything settles itself. I don't think you see any other team really make a push. Like, I don't see it. Because, like, the where I'm looking at here, like, right on the outside is then it's Notre Dame. They're sitting there at 9, and, like, there's just no chance. Not a chance. So this is it. Like, it's definitely dangerously close to being Georgia, Bama, Oregon, Ohio State, or as, like, we could probably call it chalk. Dangerously close to being that. But, I mean, you know, to be fair, if Oregon loses at any point, they're done. If Ohio State loses at any point, they could be done. It's going to be real, because that'd be second. If you put a two-loss Ohio State team in there, I'm going to be real pissed.
There's no way. I mean, because if they lose, I mean, one of the losses Ohio State's probably going to have, if it comes down to it, probably either Michigan State or, I mean, who knows if it is Michigan, is Harbaugh going to get over the hump? Let's just be honest. Probably.
Well, that's their next two. I mean, these are going to be really tough. Yeah. They're home for Michigan State next week on the 20th, and then the 27th Thanksgiving weekend, they're at Ann Arbor. That could be big moment for Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, and, like, then they'll play the Big Ten championship game, and they'll play the West, which is, I mean, as we know, not
the— You want to know how bad the West is, that there is a realistic shot the Illini could still win the West, which is, that's just disgusting.
Oh, my God.
All that basically has to happen is, like, the other teams are just basically going to lose out, and if they do and Illinois for some reason wins out, Illinois is in, and that would be disgusting. I would be, God.
Well, no, I was just going to say, it's crazy to even think that it's a possibility, and we're, like, 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's, like, how bad the West is.
That's just crazy to think about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Yeah. Makes no sense.
Cincinnati, though, going to have a hard time. I think, like, they have too many close wins. They don't have really the big— – I mean, what, you got just the Notre Dame game, I think, would be the only one they have. That's tough. Oklahoma, like you mentioned, they just haven't beaten anybody worth note. So it's this is really weird. Definitely a lot of love. They love the Big Ten at the playoff committee. Absolutely love it. Got a rock hard on for the Big Ten right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so that's basically college football. It should be interesting to see the next few weeks. I mean, it's been crazy every week, I feel like, for college football. So there might be something crazy that goes down here today. And then, college basketball's back. So that's exciting. You know, we got college basketball back. We have Coach K's last run, to make it as, dramatic as possible. And really, really make people appreciate Coach K for this final year, for his send off. So, we got that going on. Illini are back, but not Coffee Coburn, not yet, because of a dumb, beautiful rule by the NCAA. Great job again, NCAA, really messing stuff up again. But no, Illini look fine. I mean, hey, college basketball, it's back. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he had a really good UCLA-Villanova game last night. It went in overtime. That was really good. Tonight, you've got the Zags and Texas. So that'll be fun. Good old 1-5 matchup. That's going to be sweet. I love it. I think, like I mentioned earlier, like, you're going to give it a bit. Like, we're only a few games in. Going to have to give it quite a bit here to see where everything goes, where everything lays. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because I don't know. I truly don't know. Like you mentioned, the Illini don't even have Coburn yet, or a couple other guys like that. So they're not even a complete team yet, but they're just beating on teams like Jackson State. So that's cool. So we'll see. Once we get into all the invitational season, towards the end of this month, and then into December, where you get into all the tournaments, like, that's when you start to kind of take notice a little bit. Yeah. And I wonder if this year, if some of the big dogs are actually going to, like, be, cause last year was weird. Like, Duke was kind of meh. North Carolina was meh. Kentucky was meh. So let's see, like, where those schools start to pick it up. Obviously, always got to watch out for Michigan State. Izzo is always going to have them ready to go. Juwan Howard in Michigan. How does that continue to evolve? He's got a great group of guys there too. So that's going to be interesting. I'm really excited. At the end of the day, Big Ten basketball is the shit. It just is. So,
oh yeah,
shout out to him.
Absolutely. And well, I guess correlating to Big Ten basketball, how much I don't like Ohio State. So Ohio State, I don't want to give them props, because as a MAC school, OU, like, Akron was always kind of our quote unquote rival when it comes to basketball. But Akron giving Ohio State a game, for Ohio State to win on a buzzer beater, shout out to Akron. That would have been great if they would have gotten that loss. But shout out to them for, you know, hanging tough there.
Yeah, and OU 1-0. OU, oh yeah. Love to see it.
OU.
And NIU, shout out to them already having a win this early in the season. Kind of weird. So shout out to the Huskies basketball program as well, obviously. All right, let's get into some NFL talk. We'll go over some of the games last week, and then we'll talk about just coming up into this week and all the news that went around it. So let's start with this, maybe the shock of the week. The Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Bills 9-6. What an ugly-ass football game that is. That is disgusting. Josh Allen intercepted, sacked, and recovered a fumble from Josh Allen. Pretty cool.
Yeah. That game was insane. Mostly just because Urban Meyer got the win. And he beat, like, one of the best teams in the NFL. But this is the second straight week Buffalo's kind of struggled. Where, like, Miami, that first half was not very good. Second half, totally different team. They couldn't do it against Jacksonville. I don't know if it was, like, the heat. Sometimes, I don't know, playing in a weird environment, especially in November, you're from Buffalo. I don't know. Sometimes those weird games happen. But, like, this is the thing I was worried about. I know BK's touched upon it before. Ryan, I think you've even touched upon it, too. Like the concerns we've had, they can't run the ball. Like, they just can't. And it's so one-dimensional that, like, come January, that's going to be an issue. Like, that could be a huge issue for the Bills, especially if they have some home games. They're in Buffalo, in Western New York. It's going to be cold, and you better run the football. So, because, I mean, Josh Allen, as good as he is, he can't do it all.
No.
He just can't.
No, you got to have a run game, and they do not have one between Singletary and Moss. It's not very good. It's also, like, I asked this question towards the end of the show last week. Who is the AFC Tate? Like, who is it? Like, who can we defiantly say is a top team? And then this week happened and made all of our points where we're like, we don't know. We have no idea. We got Baltimore beat Minnesota in another close one in overtime, 34-31. We'll get into Thursday Night Football at the end of this. Cleveland rocks Cincinnati with Nick Chubbs, who had now out this week due to COVID. But it was a good, like, kind of like get right game for Cleveland. A lot of people were thinking it was going to be Cincinnati. It was going to be able to kind of like beat up on Cleveland here. But Cleveland got it done. Definitely they're led behind Nick Chubb. Just want everybody to know that. That running game definitely helped quite a lot. And the defense getting all over Joe Burrow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, watching that game initially, Cincinnati just went right down the field within the first, like, 7 minutes. It was not looking good there for the Browns. Then all of a sudden, Denzel Ward got a pick six, turned the entire game around. You could tell Joe was a bit flustered after that. The pass rush started to get there. They were just able to run the ball, and Baker made the plays he had to make. He did not miss many. So he was pretty zoned in there for the game. A little insight, though, for the Browns. Jarvis Landry's been their, like, basically, quote-unquote, like, team leader ever since he came over. He's been a big culture change there for the Browns. But so usually he gives, like, the pregame speech. Instead, he talked to Baker, and he's like, Baker, you should do it. So they rally, basically. And, like, that's another thing we got to think about, like, when you come into these games is, like, the human aspect of it. Yes, the Browns are struggling, you know, playing here the last few weeks. They're on the field, but the human aspect of rallying around a guy, it seems like they rallied around Baker, and Baker played fantastic. So, shout out to the Browns and, you know, for beating the heck out of the Bengals, which is a shock.
100%. Also a shock, Denver absolutely destroys Dallas. My God. And there goes a lot of people in survivor pools. I had like three guys at work that are like, fuck. I know a lot of people in my dad's survivor pool, same thing. Took Dallas. I was like, oh, yikes. Denver, getting it done.
Doesn't make sense. You just traded Von Miller. Like, you think after Dallas gets back Dak, they'd be right on back on track and not even trying to rhyme. But you think that would be the thing. No, not at all.
Nope, pretty bad. And then the Patriots beat down the Panthers, who then decided, well, Sam Darnold's done. So why don't we just bring back Cam Newton? Let's do that. So now they are paying Teddy Bridgewater, paying Sam Darnold, paying Cam Newton. Great. Great. Really good, sound way to run the organization right there. I love it. Also, Mac Jones better be weary as he plays the Browns this week after trying to put someone on like a Ken Shamrock ankle lock against that Panthers team. Boy, Garrett and Clowney are going to be coming for Mac Jones this week, so watch out. Man. Not good.
Wait, Ryan, are you trying to tell me that, like, it's a Patriots quarterback that might not be playing by the rules? Is that what you're trying to get at? That's happened? Because I've never heard of anything like that. So
No. Honestly, classiest organization in the NFL. Tom Brady would have never. So, Mac Jones, typical Bama quarterback, right? Parody. Must be a Nick Saban thing. Miami beats Houston without Tua. They get the job done there. Again, Houston not a very good team, but shout out to Jacoby Brissett for getting done for the Dolphins. Young Ho Koo delivers Atlanta a win there at the end versus New Orleans. Shout out to Trevor Siemian for keeping them competitive. I don't know how. But shout out to him. Shout out to
him. The Saints, real quick, are basically try betting on them and figure it out. You have no idea which Saints team is going to show up. Have no idea. How did that team just basically kind of destroy Tampa Bay with Trevor Siemian after they had zero game plan of him in the game? I don't know. I mean, I get it that Brady struggles against the Saints, but how do you do that and then lose to Atlanta, who somehow Atlanta's the 7th seed in the NFC right now and would be in the playoffs? Makes no sense. This Saints team, I don't know. I can't get a gauge on it. I mean, they look so great against the Packers, dominate them in week one, and then week two, not great. Week three, great again. I don't know. Yeah. It's every other.
And no Kamara this week either. So,
yep, big loss.
It is a big loss for them indeed. The Giants beat the Raiders, another team we're trying to figure out. Who are the Raiders? We don't know. We have no idea. I don't get it. I just don't.
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't. Bad week. The Chargers get a big win versus Philly. Austin Eckler didn't really get to do much, but Justin Herbert looked good. So that's good because you need him to get back on track after a rough couple of weeks. So big win there to beat the Eagles. You got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. Arizona, no Murray, no Hopkins, no problem. They got Sheriff Colt McCoy, baby. Gets the job done against San Francisco, 31-17. I don't get it. Honestly, at this point, as of November 13th, 2021, I will say Arizona Cardinals are the best team in the NFL. It just doesn't make sense.
Man, really throwing that out there. Interesting.
Yeah, let it be known. Let it be known to the peeps.
Man, throwing that out there before the next game we're going to talk about. That's interesting.
Letting it be known. Then no love lost and no love found. On Sunday afternoon football, Kansas City Chiefs win an ugly game against the Green Bay Packers, 13-7. And yet again, Kansas City fails to cover. My God, dude. Kansas City against the spread is an all-time atrocious team. All time.
Absolutely.
It is so gross. This game was in between my nap at the hotel. So I watched a good portion of it. And then I kind of napped for a little bit, woke up and saw the fourth quarter. You know, Jordan Love, we got to see some flashes there. Definitely, obviously, way more comfortable when he uses his feet, right? He's a fast guy. And it definitely looked that way once he was moving around. And I felt he felt a little bit more comfortable. I did see some people kind of talking about it felt. He just didn't have a lot of timing with guys, which is understandable. I won't take the route Colin Cowherd and some of them did where they kind of compared it to, the first thing they wanted to do is compare it to Fields. And I was like, all right, let's bump it up a little bit. And the point being, because Jordan Love has technically been in that, he's been in that system for was it 18 months, year and a half? Yeah. So, and you would probably, I guess, expected maybe to see a little bit more flashes, but I think we did. I think we did late in that game. I think you started to see a little bit from Jordan Love. Tough to ask. Obviously, you know, he would need to work on some more timing with Davante Adams. They looked a little bit off. That's bound to happen. He's not working directly with those first team guys every day. So, that is bound to happen. But Kansas City, dude, they just suck. Like, honestly, this team really sucks. And
they're just not great.
Yeah, like, I keep sitting here waiting. Like, it's going to happen. Like, oh, man. And if you're looking at it in a fantasy perspective, fantasy football perspective, Patrick Mahomes still the third best player in fantasy football in most leagues. And Tyreek Hill still, like, a top five receiver in most leagues point-wise. It's just you're not getting it consistently enough anymore. So that's why people that own them are starting to kind of like panic a little bit, and they're trying to figure out like whether they want to, you know, trade. Do you try to find value there? What do you do? But Pete, your thoughts on Jordan Love, because that was a glimpse of what the future of the Packers could be. So your thoughts there.
Initial thoughts is, I mean, this is what I kind of expected. I did not expect Jordan Love to just ball out. Like a lot of people were saying against a, you know, let's just be honest, not a great Kansas City defense. He saw a lot of different coverages. It's been a tough week. I mean, why don't we just think about it from a personal standpoint? They were probably for Jordan Love. The amount of pressure that poor kid has on him, you have the whole Rodgers COVID situation. You have Davante Adams coming back from COVID. So he really wasn't able to practice until like Friday. I think people need to think about this from this perspective. When you're the backup quarterback, you don't really take any snaps, really, with any of the first team during the week. So he only had, like, a couple days of that. Matt LaFleur even said, like, after the game, they couldn't figure out the pressures that Kansas City was doing and the pressure beaters. They were able to run the ball. They probably should have ran the ball a little bit more to help out Jordan Love. But let's just think about it from this perspective. It's a dude's first start. I know people want to compare it to Justin Fields or even compare it to, like Rodgers when he got in his first game. Also, that was his third year in the system, okay, there against Dallas when Favre went down. Also, that was mid-game. So it's a little bit different from the perspective of if you're the defensive coordinator and you know a young quarterback is in, like, a couple days ahead of time, guess what? There is no way Kansas City blitzes as much as they did to Jordan Love. No way. Against Rodgers, if Rodgers is back there. But, he showed some flashes. I mean, the one throw that he had to A.J. Dillon where he was, like, spinning around, nearly sacked. I mean, you can see the athletic ability. Jordan's got it. He's got the athletic ability. I think it's just all about – and also, we got to think about it from this perspective. It's a late afternoon game in Kansas City. Fans are back. Like, that's a tough game really for anyone.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Kansas City putting Jordan Love's girlfriend and mom best seats in the house there at Arrowhead.
Best obviously. Seats in the house there. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Whatever. Kansas City. And, like, to think, the Packers offense struggled that much, and they still almost won the game. Like, if they had one more stop, who knows? Maybe Jordan Love wins that game. Like, who knows what happens there at the end? Because he started to kind of, feel his way through. But I mean, we also have to think about it, too. I mean, Justin Fields struggled in his first start. I mean, let's not forget, against Cleveland. But, I mean, that might have had a lot to do with Matt Nagy. But also, the Browns' defense isn't that bad. I think it's actually pretty good. So I think it's just one game. Let's ease off, judging Jordan Love, from there. But it was going to be tough for them to win anyway. Kansas City was desperate. But from a Packers like fan perspective, I was proud of the defense. Defense did fantastic. Yes. I think they actually have a defense. It's weird to say that. We had this conversation 2 months ago after they got blown out by the Saints, and that was like same old story. Soft defense, but credit to Joe Barry. He's got the boys playing. They're playing really well. I am worried about special teams. It's not very good here right now, and I don't think it's all on Crosby. I really don't. You have a new punter, which is basically the new holder. You just brought in a new long snapper. I don't know what we're doing here. Figure it out, boys, because, like, we're going to have to play. I mean, these are important games, like, especially in the NFC, which is so top-heavy. Like, every game's going to count. So you can't have your special teams mess it up. So that's the impressions I got, you know, from that game. Kansas City, though, real quick, I mean, I don't know what's wrong with them. I really don't. I don't know if it's, like, so much of a run game. Like, they just don't want to run it. Andy Reid just does not want to run it because they had some success in that game running the ball. And I think if you look at Kansas City on the season, they're one of the highest yards per carry teams. And they just abandon it. I don't get it. And also, like, I know BK's, like, touched upon this, like, before, but Damian Williams was one of the main pieces in that Super Bowl there against the Niners and, you know, possibly should have won MVP. And that's when the Chiefs are humming. Those big plays are going to happen once you start running it, and it just seems like Andy Reid's like, no, I don't want
to
do it.
It's like they're trying to force because it's not working, right? Travis Kelce has been, you know, all a quiet year for him in perspective of what he usually does. Tyreek Hill kind of quiet lately. It's like they're trying to force big plays to happen because that is their offense where you're right. Yeah, they really need to get back to trying to run the football. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, hopefully getting healthy again. Not that that matters because, like, they don't run. And even when he's in, it looks pretty rough. But they have to do something because that team is really bad. Like I said, I'm like, each week, I'm like, I feel like this is it. This could be it. I thought it was a perfect perfect opportunity for Kansas City to get right against Green Bay with Aaron being down because of COVID. Like, this is going to be perfect. And it's just like the Packers defense stepped up in like a huge way. Like, to hold the Chiefs to 13 points at Arrowhead is insane from a Green Bay defense that we thought was pretty soft, like you said, and they've definitely have stepped up. So shout out to the defense there for getting that done. But yeah, Kansas City, I don't know. It's not good. The Titans without Derrick Henry, no worries. We're just going to go into LA and stomp out the Rams. Whatever. 28-16, AP even got a touchdown. That's pretty cool. Matt Stafford, at one point, like, we were at a bar watching this, and, like, he gets grabbed. He's, like, spinning in the end zone, his own end zone. He just throws it, and it ends up being a pick six.
So
and I'm like,
that was,
dude. And, like, my uncle is just like, take the safety. What are you doing? And I'm just like, dude, this is bad. Like, Tennessee's defense looked very good against a top Rams offense.
I mean, you think Carson Wentz, that's a Carson Wentz play through and through.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as he did that, and I was also thinking, like, you know, back to, like, young Stafford days, and, like, Ryan, you've seen this, too, like, going against Detroit, like, young Stafford, like, where Stafford just don't care. Like, he'll throw it anywhere. And that's what I thought that was. I was like, is this Stafford from, like, 10 years ago?
Yeah,
like, who is
wild.
This?
He's like, Calvin's there somewhere.
Yeah, he's, whatever, throw it. Who cares?
Just fling it. It'll be fine. Cares. And then it wrapped up on Monday night, a weird NFL week where, like, the dogs just won. There's so many dogs, which then led me to wake up Monday morning and feel hope inside my chest as I got ready to go to the Bears and Steelers game that night. And I was like, oh my god, they're doing it. They're gonna make me believe in the Bears. This is so stupid. We get to the game and the Bears are getting shit on left and right, and I'm like, all right, whatever, no big deal. And then the Chicago Bears storm back, and I'm like, you sons of a bitches. Now I'm back in. Here we go. Let's beat the Steelers. They get a big sack late in the fourth quarter when they were up. They were up by three, I think, at that point when they got the sack. Or they might have been down by three. And it was a big play and big sack. Also, shout out to guys. I don't want to pronounce this wrong, but I think it's Cassis. I think that's how you pronounce his first
Cassis.
Name.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Did a really sweet, like, spinning crane kick. It was kick ass. Looked like I got something out of Karate Kid. That was pretty dope. And then he stares down the Steelers bench, which can't do taunting. As he's walking, the ref kind of ass checked him and then threw the flag for taunting, which then led everybody just to completely explode on the fact that that was even called. And yeah, it was really bad. The Bears had some bad calls there. But for the most part, I do want to first off say the Bears played some of the most undisciplined football I've ever seen. Okay, 12 flags for 115 yards. You're just not going to win games doing that. A lot of offsides, a lot of hands to the face. The pass interference call, that was tough. But I do want to reference this. And then the Steelers, obviously, they go on and win that game. Whatever. Bunch of cheaters out there in Pittsburgh, let me tell you. Looking like, you know, basically it's like New England out there, man. They're just straight cheating. But the Bears, what I will say is, man, Justin Fields played great. Like, that was awesome. Like, to see Justin Fields really play hard through that adversity and get that team come back in a position to win. Now, why on earth you bring out Santos?
Santos for
to
that.
Kick like a 65, I think it was. I think it's 65, 67 yeah. yard field goal. And like in Pittsburgh, like it's not going to happen. I would have much preferred just let Justin fling it and like see what happens. You know what I mean? His kid's got a can of an arm. He made some really good throws. What was kind of sad for me is there's a play Ben makes. He's got, I think it was James Washington. And I honestly can't remember the other receiver. Like right now, my dad's listening to this. And he's probably like, what the fuck? Because he probably like he can remember who that receiver was, but I don't remember. I'm pretty sure James Washington was one of them, but I don't remember the other. And like if this was like probably 4 years ago, Ben, we were fucked. He was torching us over the top. But now, boy, that looked like a dead duck left his arm.
Yeah.
And like my uncle was like, oh my God, did you see how awful that was? He made the the receiver made the catch, but like the receiver actually had to stop and wait for the ball to get there. And gross.
Was that the like they're kind of like returner guy? Is that
is it Ray McLeod? Ray McLeod, yeah.
I'm guessing it's Ray. If it's someone fast, I'm guessing it's Ray Ray.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He and they're just waiting for it. And I'm like, ooh, wow, that was gross. That was an ugly throw from Ben. And it was just kind of sad because, like, you know, my biggest thing, and I know Dan can attest to it, like, my favorite part about Big Ben for all his time is it's his brand of fuck a chuck it football. Like, it was absolutely amazing every time. He would just fling it. And the receivers go up there and make plays. And, like, now that throw was, like, all he had. That was it. Like, his arm was shot after that. And, boy, it feels a lot like Drew Brees last year. Where, like, it's just kind of – it is the end. Getting to see Najee Harris run in person, he's a bad man, dude. It's a bad dude right there. Guy kicks ass. And Dave Montgomery looked really good coming back. Looked really, really good. I'm sorry to everybody that had Khalil Herbert on their team. You can drop him now because apparently Bears are like, nope. We'll just use Montgomery. That's it.
And, so much for easing Montgomery into the game.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of anticipating that. I really was. Like when my brother had him, he's like, I'm just going to put him in because like I don't have any other options. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I don't really expect much. And like, he just used him all game. Kept using them. Shouts Cole Kmet looking pretty good finally. That was awesome. Allen Robinson's name got involved. Like the Bears offense looked really good in that second half. Like they were moving the ball. Everything was really working well. Justin Fields is so fast. So honestly, it was great. I was getting real hyped like towards the end of that game as we started getting to Ben and like things started. I was like, oh man. And then it just heartbreak. Heartbreak right there. Bad. And that stupid visor wearing bald piece of shit is still the coach of the Chicago Bears, as he probably will be for the rest of this year because the Bears just don't fire coaches midseason. So it is what it is. Pete, your thoughts? Because I could tell you what, I went back and looked. That field goal looked way closer on TV than it actually was. It was really bad.
Very deceiving. I know, like, I feel bad for you because, like, you were at the game and, like, just our group chat was just blowing up. And, like, if that were me at the game, I would have just muted it. But, like, just stop texting me. I'm just trying to watch this game. Stop texting me right now. But, no, like, yeah, for the replay, it honestly did. It looked close. I was like, oh, my God, did Santos actually have this? And then, yeah, when they do the replay, and then, yeah, with you being live, you're like, that thing was nowhere close. Like, what was that attempt? But no, from the Bears' perspective, this is as good of like a loss win as you can have because Justin Fields is a guy. He is a guy. The Bears, I think, have found their guy. Because, I mean, going into this game, this could have been a lot like that Cleveland game where Pittsburgh's defense is all over Fields, field struggles, whatnot. No, he played really well in this game. If not for like a lot of dumb penalties, obviously the Marsh thing was ridiculous. Clearly the ref bumped into him. That's dumb. But the amount of times, because, I mean, we're watching on TV. So, you know, like they have like the, you know, imaginary line that's supposed to be the line of scrimmage or whatever. honestly, the amount of times they actually didn't call Robert Quinn for being offsides is insane. I mean, he was offsides two or three times there in the game when they called it. Watching it on TV, they probably could have called more. I don't know what he's thinking. And, like, trust me, I am not defending Nagy. Nagy should not be the coach. But if I'm – that's not on Nagy. That's on Robert Quinn. Like, my God, you are a veteran in the NFL, and you cannot figure out to line up. And I was telling Molly this because I was watching the game, and I was like, as a pass rusher, you're supposed to block everything out. You're supposed to just look at the football. If you cannot look at the football and, like, say, oh, I'm offsides, dude, you got to get your eyes checked. Like, that's, like, I mean, nowhere close. So, yeah, some of those penalties were, you know, bad there on the Bears' end. But, I mean, the officiating was terrible when they were in that game. Yeah, I mean, it was bad that that even happened. But the Steelers, this is what the Steelers do. They play ugly games, and then they win somehow. That's just what the Steelers have done all year. All their games are ugly. Yeah, they were able to win there at the end. But, yeah, if I were the Bears, yes, you put it in Fields' hands. Like, you throw it up, you know, to somebody. That's what I do at the end. The dude has a cannon. We'll talk about this. Jimmy Graham, obviously not the greatest. But he's 6'8". You got Jimmy. Cole Kmet's massive. Allen can get up
massive,
there.
Yeah.
So can Mooney. Like... you throw it up there, and guess what? The officials were terrible. Who knows?
You Maybe might get a pass interference. Yeah. Do something.
You get it at the 1 yard line, and then Nagy calls a boneheaded play, and he'll probably do a shovel pass, and they'll get stuffed at the one.
But at least then, I felt like we tried. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could have Nagy blow that one, but yeah, with a play call. But yeah, I mean, as a Bears fan, you got to be feeling good, though. I mean, just protect Justin Fields. Hopefully he can continue to develop and you just get a head coach that actually is competent. But it's funny because we talk about Nagy. Obviously, we nag on him all the time, like about him as a head coach. But then you look at his pedigree in terms of, like, the Bears making the playoffs. Obviously, last year was an anomaly. They added the extra, you know, team, whatever. But, like, you look at his record, and then we talked about this team, you know, before. When you talk about the Niners, I mean, we briefly were talking about the Cardinals instead of them. And we talk about Shanahan in a different light than Nagy. But you look at the records, and it's like nowhere close. Nagy destroys him in records, which makes no sense. But little things that go into a game where you can tell it's kind of coaching, like, really show off for Nagy. So
when you are watching, like, how Mike Tomlin operates versus Matt Nagy,
exactly,
like, there's such a difference, right? Like, Mike Tomlin is an actual head coach where, like, he's not out here calling plays or doing any of that bullshit. He's just making sure everybody's got everything's in line, everything's mapped out the way it's supposed to be, and he's managing the game. Matt Nagy is so hands-on that I think it causes a problem. I mean, if you want to be that hands-on, just be a coordinator or a quarterback coach. You know what I mean? Do that if you really want to be that hands-on. They're definitely right. Bears definitely, you know, little good things for Justin Fields. That was good. That was the positive I took out of it. It was like, oh, Justin Fields looked really good. Because he was getting hit.
Yeah.
Like, TJ was getting all over his ass. But he was making plays, man, and that was awesome to see. Also, I really enjoyed. So we had a lot of people sitting around us that ended up also, like, being from the Chicago area, but were Steeler fans. So that was really fun. And one of them in front of us, like, somebody, the one guy, grew up on the South Side, but he's a Cub fan, whatever. Lame as fuck. And he goes, fuck Aaron Rodgers, see? And his buddy next to him is a Steelers fan, goes, whoa, don't say that. He's going to be our guy next year. And I'm like, I've been saying it. I was so excited because I'm like, I've been saying it. When you look at Rodgers and if he's going to leave, one, he's going to an AFC team. There's no doubt in my mind. Two, like, people keep saying the Broncos, but, like, the Broncos are just getting rid of their team. They got rid of Von Miller. Now that doesn't make any sense to me. Whereas the Steelers, a complete team that just probably need a quarterback because Ben's old. So, like, man, I was all for it. I was so hyped when that guy said that. And shout out, Pete, I just want you to know my dad did say if he does go to the Steelers, he will buy you a jersey if you want. So.
Ooh, actually, okay, so I'm glad that was brought up. So, like, a few weeks ago, obviously, before, you know, Aaron Rodgers was enemy number one by the public there on the Pat McAfee show, when he was talking about, like, Pittsburgh, because the Packers were about to play Pittsburgh or whatever, and it was talking about Pittsburgh people, and then the rumor was like, oh, is he going to Pittsburgh, whatever. I mentioned something to Molly. I was like, oh, you know I'm going to cheer for Rodgers, right? You know, if he goes to Pittsburgh, And then I made a joke. I was like, oh, yeah, I might get a jersey. And she's like, don't you dare say that. She's like, you do that. Like, we're going to have some big issues. And then, like, of course, we have a family party. And it's like, and that's, the comments are made like an hour or two prior to the family party. And then what does Molly say? Just opens up the floodgates. Oh, Pete's going to be a Steelers fan. He's going to be a Steelers
fan. Super fun.
And then, for, yeah, and her entire family, it's like, you know, everybody in Cleveland hates Pittsburgh. It's just like, and I was like, oh, I just can't get away from it. You know, grew up in a family when, well, I mean, it was my choice. But,
you know, you chose to be a Packers fan.
Yeah, I chose that. But, like,
I was probably chose right. So it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
Gotcha, some success. But my dad did say, too, he's like, I'll get him the jersey, but he has to wear it to, like, a family event. And I was like, oh.
I'll do it.
See, now.
I mean, I honestly. I mean, hey, I did it when I was like 10.
Dude,
I mean,
shout out though, let you know, the black and yellow colors look way better than the Browns jerseys, man. They just do. They just do. There's something slick about them, bro. Especially if you get the black with the yellow number. Oh, dude.
I don't know. And then, like, the whole, like, where's Rodgers going to go next offseason? I feel like it's just, I mean,
yeah, we'll see.
I don't know what's going to happen. But
yeah,
my brother-in-law, I was hanging out with him last night, and he was like, oh, he's going to the Browns next year. Look at the deals that they're doing. They're getting the offensive linemen, and then they're going to get Rodgers, and then they're going to trade Baker in like a first or second round to Green Bay. And I was like, no, we have Jordan Love. Why would we trade for Baker? Like, we want to see what Jordan Love is. Like,
yeah, the Packers aren't trading for Baker. I just don't see it. Like I said, the only reason the Steelers, and I've been saying it and I've been harping on it, is because the team, like, you, I mean, not that Cleveland wouldn't be. I'm not going to say that. Cleveland, if Rodgers went to Cleveland, obviously Cleveland becomes a Super Bowl contender, no doubt, and probably a favorite of the AFC, and that's fine because they do have a team built for that. However, when you look at Pittsburgh, it makes way more sense because they have quarterback questions. The Browns don't.
Yes.
I mean, you might, if you do, as Browns fans, they probably do have some questions because they're like, dude, is Baker really going to be the guy? Because that's the cop. Yeah. That's usually the thing, the cop out when you're like, you feel like you're having a bad year. You're like, it's probably the quarterback's fault. So I don't know. That's super interesting, but I just laugh when someone in front of me said it, 'cause like, dude, I've been fucking saying it, because it's like in great, 'cause I'm looking at it. Like, I mean, we'll get into another time, but like when you really go through the teams, like it starts to stand out. But yeah, it was a crazy week in the NFL. We mentioned how bad the officiating is. I don't understand it. Like, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
It's not very good. Also, like you mentioned, Robert Quinn being in the neutral zone the entire time, like, okay, whatever, dude. Like, just, oh my God, undisciplined as shit. Yeah. And then we had Thursday night football, and here we go. Yeah. I gave the Ravens kind of props last week. So I was like, well, I guess like maybe they're the only team, even though they're winning barely, I guess they're the only ones. Yeah, nope. Lost to Miami. No problem. Cool. Thursday night football, BK's favorite day of the week. Not very good. The Ravens fall 22-10 to Miami. Jacoby Brissett was in, then got hurt, so Tua came back in. Not healthy enough to start, healthy enough to come in, though. No big deal. And they get the job done there. Tough, dude. And I don't even think the Ravens offense even looked that bad. Like, Lamar didn't look terrible. You know what I mean? Like, he's okay.
Yeah, it was ugly.
Yeah, it's not quite.
I mean, it was an ugly game. Like, it just seemed like, I don't know. It seemed, and this is really bad comparison, but like it almost seemed like the Packers Chiefs game, where like they just kept blitzing, and like the Ravens could just not figure it out. Like, that's just what it was, and they kept blitzing their DBs, because guess what? Those DBs are as fast as Lamar, and that's the only guys. I mean, you got some linebackers; he's gonna run right by him. But it just seemed like that. And it also seemed like it was the Miami defense that we saw last year.
Yeah.
That was good. All of a sudden showed up in the defense that showed up in the first half against the Buffalo Bills a few weeks ago. That's the defense that played there. But there's no way I saw that coming. There's no way. I mean, like, Baltimore's been – I mean, yeah, Baltimore's kind of struggled in terms of, like, kind of in games, having to come back and whatever. But Miami's not great. And for that to happen, try figuring out the AFC. I mean, it's beyond me. The AFC is so wide open. And that game just proved it.
I mean, right now, as we stand, the Pittsburgh Steelers are in the playoffs. And we just talked about them a few weeks ago, where I was like, I don't really know what the Steelers are. And BK kept saying, like, hey, don't sleep on them. because like eventually like they're just gonna do what they do because Mike Tomlin's a great head coach, and here we are. And the AFC is weird. The AFC is very weird. The wild card teams right now are the Raiders, the Steelers, and the Patriots. Who would have thunk? Not me. Not too long ago, we talked about Apple TV possibly trying to get the NFL Sunday Ticket. Well, Disney CEO Bob Chapek said the company is in talks to add the Sunday Ticket to ESPN Plus. That would be
awesome.
Absolutely fantastic. I would be thrilled to have the Sunday Ticket on ESPN Plus.
And aren't they thinking about doing, I don't know how much talks this was, but are they thinking about doing like how baseball has it? Well, I think the other ones do too, the other like major sports, where it's just one team.
I know originally like that was talked about when Apple was supposedly talking to them about it. Yeah. That would be interesting too, right? To offer one team package. It works for a lot of people. It works for people like you, obviously, as a Packer fan out there in Cleveland, or BK, a Ravens fan out in North Carolina, stuff like that. Dan, right, as a Bears fan out in Arizona, that would work too. So, you know, even though I'd probably rather watch Cardinals games, Dan, but that's all right. You know, no big deal.
You'll probably just get the regular Sunday Ticket.
Yeah, probably should. I don't really want to zone in on the Bears. That's not good. So we'll see. So last week, two of us did the thing of not getting a single game right. That is myself and David. Shout out to us, David. We did a great job. Didn't get a single pick right. It was coming down to that last game, right? Dan had the Bears. David and I had Pittsburgh. So, wow, bad week in general, which I kind of figured with so many upsets, and the only person that really was able to judge that right was Josh. So shout out to Josh getting four right there. He had a good week. You and PK only getting your bonus picks right. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, not great.
Not great at all. Ugly, ugly week. So where we stand right now, David's still in first at 26. Josh and I tied at 24. Pete, you're at 23. BK and Dan bring up the rear at 21. Let's get these picks going. Week 10, New Orleans versus Tennessee. Tennessee, 2.5-point favorites. Those odds are per FanDuel, by the way. Pete, who you got?
We just talked about Tennessee, the huge win against the Rams. This is why we get. It's good that we do the podcast on Saturday instead of Tuesday, because I might have picked New Orleans here, maybe. Because Kamara, we would have known, oh, he didn't miss practice. He did. He's out. I'm going Tennessee. Also, I can't figure out the Saints. I can't tell myself that Trevor Siemian's going to win this game, so I'm going Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm going to go Tennessee also. They look just fine without Derrick Henry against the Rams, so I think they should be fine here against New Orleans, who doesn't have Kamara. So, yeah, I'll go Tennessee. New England versus Cleveland here. Pete, who do you got?
My heart wants me to go for Cleveland. I'm going to be cheering for Cleveland hard here in this game. But New England, I'm just going to go New England. I just don't want to do it.
Do you think it's weird that they're 2.5-point favorites over Cleveland?
Yeah. Very strange. It's very strange. So I feel like the line's weird. The Chubb injury is huge.
Yeah.
They don't have Hunt back yet. He's probably a few weeks away. D'Ernest Johnson has played well. It's just, usually when they got that two-headed monster, it's usually good, and I'm just worried about Belichick. New England's been hot lately. I'm going to go New England.
I'm going to go Cleveland here on the thought process is that the Cleveland defense will be able to get to Mac and put some pressure on him. I know New England has like three or four or maybe even five running backs, it feels like, Jesus, that they just throw out there. They're like, let's see which one works. That could be a tough little situation there for Cleveland, but I think they'll get to Mac. And this is it, man. You know, Nick Chubb's out. Obviously, said Hunt's gone. Baker's got to step up. Got to step up here in this big game because in an AFC North, in an AFC in general right now, where everything's just a cluster, every win is very, very important right now for the Browns. They started that last week getting the big win against Cincinnati, and I'm going to pick them here to at least cover the 2.5. I didn't say they're going to win, right? Just gonna cover 2.5. Might lose by one. You know, who knows? I don't know. Minnesota versus the Chargers. Chargers 3-point favorites. Who you got?
I'm gonna go Chargers here. I was very worried last week. I was very confident with the Chargers over Philly because that was the only game I won, and it was barely. So that was a bit terrifying. But no, I can't trust Minnesota. I mean, once they lost to Cooper Rush, it's like, oh my god. I know they made the Baltimore game close. They probably should have won that game. But Minnesota always plays in close games, so I'm sure this will be a great one. back and forth here between the Chargers and Minnesota, but I'm going to go Chargers here at home.
Yeah, I'm also going to go Chargers here. This is a game they, you got to win here. You should be able to pick up a big win against Minnesota. And Minnesota just hasn't been like, they just don't do anything for me. I just don't like them. I don't like Kirk Cousins. That's probably it. That's probably why.
Yeah,
he's like he's fine. Like this version of like Phillip Rivers, who I hate. So Kirk Cousins fits that mold real well. Yeah, don't like him. Seattle versus Green Bay. As of right now, all signs are pointing that it is going to be Russell Wilson back and Aaron Rodgers back. Green Bay 3.5-point favorites. Who do you got, Pete?
Yep, I can confirm. Aaron Rodgers has been activated off the COVID list, so he will be starting. Who knows? Maybe Jordan Love plays. Maybe he gets, you know, some time. Who knows? I don't know. But Seattle, Green Bay. I keep picking against the Packers, so I'm just going to keep doing it. I'm going to pick against them. I am very worried about this game just because Russell Wilson released that hype video, which I'm terrified of. My God. What was that from the Succession? Was that what it was from?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, hey, he's got great media people. That gets me hyped. So,
go Hawks.
No, I'm going to pick Seattle to cover. I think Green Bay's got a good chance to win. But this is another one where I think you were talking about with the Browns-New England game where it could come right down the wire where they might cover, but then New England wins. This might be the same thing. Maybe Seattle covers, and then the Packers win. This should be a really good one. I mean, Russell's coming back. There's supposed to be possible, like, you know, snow flurries during the game.
Ooh.
At Lambeau. I mean, come on. You want anything more? Let's go. So, yeah, I'm going to go Seattle to cover here.
I want to give a quick little shout-out to Tim in fantasy, right? He's like all of a sudden, you know, he was down there. He's down in the dumps, got a big win last week, and now he gets Russell Wilson back. And all of a sudden, that team's starting to come together. Could be a big week for an upset against the number one team, Splitter Uprights, my dad. So Tim might get that done with Russell Muscle Hustle Wilson coming back. I'm going to take Seattle here too at +3.5. Like, to me, it's just me. Green Bay has always been like it. That is like the tough one for them is Seattle. Now, granted, at least they're in Green Bay, but like they just have like a weird issue with them. And I'm really looking forward to see what the Seattle offense does look like with Russell back. Like DK Metcalf should be able to get a little bit free. It's going to be a good test for that Green Bay defense that's been looking hot. So this is going to be tight. Could be a really close game. That's why I'm going to go with Seattle +3.5. And we'll wrap it up with Kansas City and Las Vegas. Listen, I keep taking Kansas City, and I'm done. I'm done taking them against the spread, bro. Vegas is +2.5. Are you also done taking Kansas City?
Absolutely. I could not have said anything more true than what you just said. That's exact words I was going to say. I feel like Kansas City is going to win, but I don't even care. I am not going to pick them. Like for spread. Absolutely not. I think they're the second worst team in the NFL for spread. Forgot who's number one, but like, my God, bad.
It's bad.
It's bad.
Really, really bad. And then your bonus pick, Pete, who do you got?
So I got Denver to cover this week against Philly at home. They're 1.5-point favorites. So I'm going to pick Denver. Coming off the huge win. Also, like, Mile High is still a tough place to play. So I'm going to go with Denver.
I'm going to go Pittsburgh coming off a win against the Bears. They're 8.5-point favorites against Detroit. Detroit stinks, dude. They really, really suck. So I think this Bears defense is going to get, or that, I'm sorry, the Steelers defense is going to be all over Jared Goff. And he is not as mobile as Justin Fields. Let me tell you that.
No.
He ain't. So, and they don't have any really firepower on offense. It's really, really bad. So I am going to go with Pittsburgh to cover the 8.5. This should be a fun week. We're a little, at least we're a little different this week. Last week, all four of us had the exact same picks until the bonus round. So maybe that was why. Maybe that's why it was such a bad week. I was like, oh, this is disgusting. Very gross. I think that does, unless you have anything else. I think that wraps us up.
Well, I guess we'll go real quick about the whole OBJ thing.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm sorry. Odell Beckham Jr. did get signed with the Rams. Why not?
Yeah, why not? I mean, honestly, supposedly it came down to the Packers and the Rams. I feel like the free agency or any type of, like, big name, I feel like I've just always been cursed in terms of, like, because, like, from our Bulls perspective, like, the Bulls are always the second best. That's just what it is. Bulls are always like the second choice for all these free agents, whatever. I feel like the Packers are always thrown in there. I don't know if it's like media like thrown in there for some of those guys, but Packers were interested there in OBJ. I mean, I think it would have been nice for them to have, but I don't think it's a must-have there for them to try to win a Super Bowl. But, I mean, the Rams came out of nowhere. I mean, you talk about a team that's all in. It's insane. They're all in. A lot of pressure. We'll see how the Rams perform with that. But, yeah, I mean, they're explosive. They're all in. Definitely the most all-in team of this year, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Trading for Von Miller. And then, obviously, the now signing of Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah, okay. Cool. I think it helps off Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. I think that's what it does. Because it's really, he's for the most part, I think Odell Beckham serves as a decoy. And it allows Woods to get open in the slot, hopefully. And then Cooper Kupp to do his thing. Because so, you know, there you go. That should help Stafford a little bit. Because I don't think Stafford's going to really care. He's going to really give a shit. Stafford seems like the type of guy. It's like, whatever, dude. If you're open, I'll give you the ball. But, like, this is what you're going to do. Do this. Yeah. And that's about it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, shout out to Matt Stafford. Cool guy. Definitely a cool guy. Wish he would have been a Bear. Would have been cool. It's all right, dude. It's cool. Because I feel like if he was anywhere else but Detroit for almost his whole career, we'd talk about Stafford a lot more. Yeah,
for sure.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
That wraps up episode 212 for Amalgamation Nation. As always, you can find the show on Twitter and Instagram at AmNationPod. Hit the follow button on both of those. You can listen to us on podcast platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcast, and more. If you would love to subscribe to us on Spotify, you totally can. Help support the show. The link is at the top of our Spotify profile there. It's $5 a month, and it helps support the show. So that'd be pretty cool. Also, if you have a leave a voicemail or text, show 815-556-9089, or just tweet us. Like I said, at AmNationPod. You can tweet us too. That works too. Twitch.tv/UndeadBlackBull. That's where you follow David on Twitch as he gets ready, getting all his stuff and his ducks in a row to be able to stream again. If you do have Amazon Prime, you get a free Twitch sub a month. So give it to Undead Black Bull. I think that just about does it for us. Everybody, have a great week. I hope you enjoy your NFL Sunday football and Monday night as well. And we'll see everything else going on in the world of sports next week on the show. As always, be safe and you stay breezy.